Chapter 19 is where we're going to be at this morning, and we're going to look at just a couple verses in this particular text. This is really a kind of a jump-off point. I'm going to try to do a series, and I'm going to call it the I Know series, and I'm going to begin that today. It amazed me how many different places in the Bible where the wonderful statement proceeds by these two words, I know. So that's what we're going to do. We're just going to look at one today because if my voice, continues on fine enough, but we're just going to try to look at one and then we'll work our way through this in the next few weeks. So what's the name of the series? It's a I Know series. And the first one is one probably... This would probably be, if I had to pick one, as far as my favorite one, it would probably be this one in the book of Job. Job 19. And let's go ahead and read, verse 25, and verse 26. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful today for the number of people that's here this Sunday morning. We're thankful for the singing and the song that we heard Sister Chastity bring us. And Lord, as we get in and begin to break the bread of life, we pray that you'd use this message to touch somebody's heart here today. We're thankful, Lord, that you've loved us and in your grace, you one day reached down into our old, dead, corrupt hearts and opened our heart and give us an understanding, Lord, to know you that is true. And Father, we pray today that this congregation of people that are here, we pray that they would be, that you would be exalted by their worship. But we pray also that you'd touch a heart here today, that we'd see a soul saved today, coming to a saving knowledge of you. In Jesus' precious name I pray, and amen. Now, Job's one of the most popular books in the Bible. Mainly, it's just people mainly focus on chapter 1 and chapter 2 and chapter 3, but the whole book is just a fantastic book. In the book of Job, Job had went through a tremendous trial. And one of the things the devil said about him, the Bible says he was the richest man in the book of Job, says he was the richest man in the East. And he loved the Lord. He loved the Lord. He did. And there was an occasion on a time when the devil came. Amongst the sons of God came before the Lord, and it says the devil came in among them. That's what he said. And what happened on that particular occasion is the devil began to accuse Job. You know, the devil is called the accuser of the brethren. He'll accuse you. He'll accuse you all the way down to the day. Do y'all agree with it? He'll whisper things to you in your heart that's not true. Have you ever had the devil whisper things in your heart that wasn't true? He'll tell you the people in the church don't like you and you ought not go and things like that. He'll whisper things in your mind that's not true because he'll seek to drive you out of fellowship with the Lord. He indeed works that way. Well, Brother Job, the Lord had blessed him much. And the devil said that the reason why he served you is because of all the things that you give him. If you reach forth your hand and you touch what he has, he'll curse you to your face. That's what the devil said about Job. And you know what the Lord did? The Lord allowed him to afflict Job. He couldn't touch Job unless God allowed it. Do y'all agree with me on that? You better, because it's right. There was no way that Job could be touched by the devil unless God said, all right, I'm going to allow that. Now, that seems odd that the Lord would allow the affliction of the devil upon such a man as Job. But One reason I think the Lord did that is, I'm telling you, whenever you're suffering, you know what book of the Bible you go to? You go to the book of Job. He's the minister to the suffering saint. The Bible doesn't say that God's people won't suffer in this life. Do y'all agree? And it does not also, it doesn't say that you'll never have any problems in this life if you're saved. Many times for some reason we think that, because there's a lot of people sometimes, and you might be one of them, and I might be one of them at one time or the other. There's times that God's people get mad at the Lord because of what happens in their life. They get mad at the Lord. And then they begin to question God's goodness. You know, anytime you're angry at the Lord, you're questioning His goodness, like God's not treating me fair. I want you to know something this morning. God's always fair. And God always knows what He's doing. And God always has a purpose for the things that He permits in the lives of His people. All God's people see it. So, Job was a godly man. You can look this up later. Three of the greatest men the Bible records, and they're listed together: Noah, Daniel, and Job. Ezekiel 14:14 and Ezekiel 14:20. God was speaking of, you know, if He said if Noah, Daniel, and Job was in that city, I still wouldn't spare it. He's talking about He was going to bring judgment on a particular place one time. But these three men were men of renown, men of God, men that served the Lord. And Job is mentioned in among these two: Noah, Daniel, and Job. Well, the devil said that he would curse you to your face if you took what he had. And you know the story. I'm just going to tell you just a little bit about it. But it's one of the greatest trials that you can even think of. He had seven sons and three daughters. And in one day, he had seven sons and three daughters that died a storm came in and it hit the building that the children were in, and it killed them all. In one day, he suffered it. I mean, can you imagine losing one child? That's even hard to imagine, but you're all the children. Seven sons and three daughters. That'd be a horrible day for you, don't you think? I couldn't imagine going through an affliction such as that. He lost all of his earthly finances. He was the richest man of the East. It says in Job 1. He had all kinds of sheep, all kinds of different kinds. It names all the different kinds of cattle and things. He was a land baron. I bet he was rich. But not only did he lose his children, but he lost all of his earthly finances. So one thing after the other happened to him. I mean, it just come in waves. Well, one affliction was happening, some other servant was getting ready to come in and tell him about something else bad that happened. Read Job 1 and 2. That's in your Bible because that's the passage for the afflicted saint. You can go to Job and you'll get strength from Job. All God's people say it. It'll strengthen you, man. He really, really went through it. Well, Job also lost all of his health. You got all this in Job 1 and 2. You read it when you go home. He lost his health. He had some type. A lot of people think he had leprosy. I don't know. It didn't say he had leprosy, but he had some kind of skin disease. It kind of affected the way that he looked. And evidently it itched real bad, whatever he had, because he had sat down in the dust and he'd scrape himself with a potsherd. This great rich man, this great man of God. He lost his what? He lost his health. He lost his finances all in one day. Seven sons and three daughters. He lost his health with this some type of horrible skin disease. And then his wife turned on him. Now I'm going to take up for Miss Job for you. You got to consider what she just went through. She just attended 10 funerals of her children. So get off her back. All God's people see it. You'd be in a whole lot. Hey, you'd be in bad shape, too, if you went through what she did. So she turns her back on him. And you know what she said? She came to Job and said, do you still retain your integrity? Curse God and die. That's what his wife told him. Can you imagine making that kind of statement? She did. But remember what all she went through. She's just flesh and bone. She made a statement that she couldn't. And I'm sure later she would have regretted what she said. You ever regretted what you said? Have you went through what she went through? Well, this is what she went through. This is what Job went through. Well, this brings us in this beginning of this series we're doing called, this is called the I Know series. The first I Know that I want to give you, and this is an awesome thing. This kind of shows you, Satan doesn't know what he's talking about everything, because he said, you touch what he has, he'll do what? Curse you to your face. Did he? No. Remember, he said, naked came I from my mother's womb. Naked shall I return. The Lord hath given, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He praised the Lord. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine making a statement like that? Well, here's the statement I want to focus on now. I want to give this to you. Here's what Job says in the book of Job, chapter 19, in the verse 25. I want you to listen to it again. He said, I know. Everybody say, I know. I know that my Redeemer. I know that my Redeemer liveth and shall stand at latter day upon the earth. And though the skin worms destroy this body, yet in the flesh I shall see God. Job didn't really lose everything. Do y'all agree? He never lost his hope. I tell you, it's a miserable man that loses their hope. He might have, his children had passed, his finances was gone, his wife was angry and bitter. But what did he still have? He said, I know my what? My Redeemer liveth. Job was still what? Job was still redeemed. The greatest thing that can ever happen to a person is for them to be redeemed. And I want to ask you about that today. I don't know if everybody here is saved or not. And I'm not preaching on salvation either, and I'm not going to apologize for that either. But it's important that you know that you've been redeemed. You know what the word redeemed means? It means to be set free from bondage. It means to buy by the payment of a price. I was in bondage under a sin curse. That's where I was at. That's where you was at. And then you know what the Lord did for me? He redeemed Jeff Arthur. He set me free from the bondage of my sin debt. And in order to do that, he had to pay a great price to do it. You know why I'm redeemed? I'm redeemed because Jesus brought to me redemption. And he paid an awesome price in order to buy me and to set me what? He set me free. He set me free. We sing the song, I'm going to quote it 9 million times, probably by the time I'm done preaching here. I'm free from the fear of tomorrow. I'm free from the guilt of the past. I've traded my shackles for a glorious song. I'm free. Praise the Lord. Free at last. All God's people say it. That's freedom. That's what redemption is. Job never lost everything. The statement he made, very first of all, he said, I know my Redeemer liveth. It looked like he lost everything. But Job was still what? He was still redeemed. He still had a home in the Father's house. Still yet did. Still knew Jesus. The Lord was still on his throne. The Lord was still working things out after the counsel of His own will. The Lord was still in charge of things. Hey, some of you might need to know this today. If you're here today and bored again, God's still in control of things. God's not lost control of things. He's in charge, saint of God. He's in charge of your life. And He's working all things after the counsel of His own will. Oh, God's people said, it's a glorious thing to know that He's done that for you. Job said he was redeemed. The greatest thing I have is redemption. That's the greatest thing I have. And in order for me to have redemption, Jesus had to pay a great price in order to have it. I mean, Jesus paid the most awesome price there ever was. He paid the ransom that set me free from the bondage of my sin debt. I had a debt, beloved, I couldn't pay. Couldn't pay it. You know what, Stu? You can't pay yours either. None of you here today can pay your own debt. You have a sin debt. Everybody here today has one thing in common, and that's all, and that we've all sinned. And we stand in need of redemption. We need to be what? Redeemed. What's that mean? Set free from bondage. Set free from the sin curse. You commit one sin, you're a sinner. You commit one sin, you're under this sin curse. You don't want to die there. People like to think they're so good, but I want you to understand something. You may be good in your own eyes, and you might be good in other people's eyes. But before God, you're a sinner. And you're a transgressor of His law. And you stand under this sin curse. And you need to be redeemed. Set free from the curse that you're under. That's where we're at. If you've never trusted Jesus, you need to be set free from it. How you get that done? Well, you trust the Lord. You realize that He's a Redeemer, that He'll set you free, that He'll give you everlasting life, and He'll save you from eternity in hell. The Bible says there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And I want you to know something. The greatest thing you can do, what's the greatest thing you could do? What's the greatest thing you could do? Receive redemption. Receive redemption. Have to be set free from your sin curse, to be set free from your sin debt, to be bought and belong to Jesus. Oh, God's people say it. Nothing greater than that. And there ain't no question as to the fact that you could have that today if you desire that. You could have that today if you want that. Beloved, it bothers me that people live for all these different things. It's not going to matter in the long run of things. You can have that big home, and you can have all those possessions. You can have all kinds of trophies from your past life when you did athletics and things. You can have all this job things and things that goes along with it. But if you're not redeemed, what difference does it make? What difference does it make? I guess they could throw it in the hole with you when they put your casket in the ground. That's where she's going to end up if the Lord doesn't come in my life or in your life. You're going to die. And all those things that you accumulated in your life that you thought was so important don't mean nothing on that day. It don't mean a thing. I guess they could throw it in the hole with you, but you're not going to play with it while they're there, are you? It ain't going to accomplish anything while you're in there. Beloved, I want you to be redeemed. I want you to be set free from the bondage of your sin debt so that the day you die, you go off be with Jesus when you go. That's what the Bible calls durable riches. Durable riches is riches that last forever. I want you to have it, but you won't have it unless you're redeemed. All God's people say it. You got to have redemption, beloved, and I have it, and I know I have it. People say all the time, Brother Job lost everything, but they are dead wrong on that. He lost material possessions, and I can't imagine suffering the loss of that he had with his children. That's just hard to imagine. But he never lost redemption. He always still had redemption. And that's what he drove strength from. Because when he was so down, here's what he said. I know my Redeemer liveth. And that he shall stand at latter day upon the earth. And after the skin worms destroy this body, yet in the flesh I shall see God. Oh, God's people say it. That's redemption. You got it. When you're born again, and there's nothing as valuable as that in life, you got to have it. We sing the song, Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. What's the benefits of being redeemed? I'll just mention a few of them. Free from the sin curse, right? If you're still under a sin curse when you die, you go to hell, just to be blunt with you. You need to be free from your sin curse. No condemnation. Romans 8 says to them that are in Christ Jesus, you have eternal life. I'm looking forward to having the benefits of my eternal life as opposed to the people that are in hell that are experiencing eternal death. Heaven's at the end of my days. Did you hear me? Each tick of that clock back there just brings me closer to my heavenly home. I used to say it all the time on the job, didn't I, Stewie? Hey, preacher, how you doing today? I said, one more day closer to paradise. That's the way I'd always say, wouldn't I? I'm another day closer to paradise. And if you don't have redemption, you're another day closer to losing everything you got. Worst of all, your own soul. Won't you be redeemed? You know the Lord will redeem you today. You know what's sad here? There's a good host of people here today that know what I'm saying is true. And they're going to wait another week. And you're not guaranteed another week. Oh, God's people say it. You need redemption. Let's turn to Isaiah 35. I'm going to have to quit here in a minute. My voice is going to go. Deacons is praying hard. My voice will go. Get the windbag out of the pulpit. Isaiah 35. Just kidding you. My deacon, I got good deacons. Isaiah 35. I'm going to close with this. When you're redeemed, you have a glorious future. Here's what we talked about. We know our Redeemer liveth. That's the statement that Job make, and that's a statement that we make. But now we want to talk about the future of the redeemed. Usually when people talk about their future, they just talk about their job. Do you got a good future ahead of you? What's your future look like? You ever heard everybody say, what's your future look like? What does your future look like? Well, here's what my future looks like. Isaiah 35 and the verse 10. If you got a big nose, it takes two of these things to cover it up here. That's what you're thinking, wasn't it, Stewie? I can tell where you're looking. All right, Isaiah 35 verse 10. Says this. Are you ready? And the ransomed of the Lord. Who's the ransomed? That's the redeemed. You know, someone gets kidnapped sometimes, and they will hold them for what? Ransom. And then you have to pay the ransom price for them to get set free. Did you realize that the Lord paid the ransom price to set you free? I don't think I'm worth much. I don't think I'm worth much, but I'll tell you what, Jesus put great value on me because he paid a great price to ransom me. All God's people said. I ain't worth that. I ain't worth that. But he put value on old Jeff and he said, I'm going to redeem that boy. I'm going to set him free from the bondage of his debt. I'm going to provide my son Jesus to pay it for him because he can't pay it. And that's what he did. Y'all love him? Y'all love him? All right, that's what the ransom means, to be set free from bondage. Ransomed of the Lord shall return. And where are they going to come to? Come to Zion. Now, you know, there was an earthly Zion. That was Jerusalem. But there's also a heavenly Zion. That's also called heavenly Jerusalem. It's another name for heaven, beloved. We sing that song, I'm marching to Zion. Beautiful, beautiful Zion. I'm marching upward to Zion. The beautiful city of God. Ransomed to the Lord shall return, and they'll come to where? Zion. One of these days, I'm going to where? I'm going to Zion. Not Jerusalem, Zion, but New Jerusalem. I can't imagine going to heaven, what it's going to be like. I can't imagine. But I know the only people that's going to be there is going to be the what? The ransomed. The redeemed. It says they'll come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy. Hey, how long is everlasting joy? It's about as long as everlasting life, ain't it? Do you have everlasting joy while you're here? No. My joy meter runs up and down. I'd like to constantly say joyful, but I don't. But here it says, here's what's great about heaven. The ransom of the Lord will return and come to Zion, and they're going to come there with songs and everlasting joy. Everlasting joy. You'll never be sad. You'll never be sorrowful. There won't be no funeral services there. There won't be no sadness there. There won't be no sickness there. It's everlasting joy. Do y'all believe in it? I hope you do. That's what heaven is. Someone passes that knows the Lord, people. And we miss our people that die that knows the Lord, don't we? But, beloved, they are far better off than we are. They wouldn't want to come back to this old place. Y'all agree? Hey, why would they want to come back here? Brother David said when his little boy had that little baby boy die, it broke his heart when the baby was sick. And then when the baby died, he blowed everybody's mind. It says he got up, washed himself. He washed himself up, got cleaned up. And you know where he went? Y'all remember where he went? He went down to the house of God. You know why he went down to the house of God? He went down there to worship. And they said, what in the world's wrong with you? You wept and carried on awful while the baby is sick, but now that the baby is dead, you're worshiping and you're eating and things. He said, I didn't know whether he's going to live or not. But now he's going. What can I do? He said. Listen to me now. Listen to these words. He shall not return to me, but one day I'll go to him. Oh, God's people say it. That's true of every saint of God that has someone that died in Jesus. I don't know how many times I've done this. I've looked down at the saint of God where I've done their service right before they shut that door on them. I'll say, I'll see you later. You've got to be able to say, I'll see you later. I'll be along in a while, but I'll see you later. Oh, God's people say it. That's the future of the ransomed, the future of the redeemed. Let me finish this. The ransom of the Lord. I'm sorry. I said it would be short, didn't I? Just kidding. And the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion, New Jerusalem. And there, when they come, they're coming with songs and everlasting joy. And they shall obtain joy and gladness. And sorrow and sin shall flee away. All God's people said. Well, do you know the Redeemer? This morning we talked about redemption. We talked about the future of the redeemed, the things that we have as a result of that. But can I ask you one more time? Have you been redeemed? Have you asked Him to save your soul? Have you trusted Him as your Savior? If you be here today and you haven't done that and you're thinking about it, but you just keep putting this thing off, why don't you do that today? Why don't you do it today and tell somebody about it? You know what I mean? You say, Lord, save me. He'll save you. The Bible says that whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be what? He'll save you and wash you clean and give you everlasting life. Won't you do it today? And you'll have a future.